The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Happy Friday, happy holiday season. I've been out looking occasionally, trying to find some holiday spirit. I haven't seen any yet, except for that one young man, 12 years old maybe, wishing a clerk in a store a happy holiday season. I'm just the only one, but at least there's that. Now, Brother Nathaniel is back with us tonight, and he's been putting out some interesting little short mail updates for his mailing list and so forth, putting it up on his site, a lot of good opinions, as he always has. And one of them was that, and I saw it somewhere else. Let me think. Where did I see that? Someone else said the same thing, and it was one of the Rents videos. I can't remember the title of it. Oh, it was that fellow Lucas Gage, I think is his name. And if you see that up on the right on the homepage, you need to watch that. He's really good. Maybe we'll play a little of that later on if we have time. But he was making the point that you people have got to wake up, that most all people who identify as being Jewish are the same. You can call them Zionists. You can call them Jews. You can call them whatever you want. But and I've said this for a long time, if the bell rings, 95% of them are going to answer it and stand up for brave little Israel. I understand how it works, but he made that point very clear. And he says, damn it, you've got to stop being divided and unclear about this and confront it straight on. Well, Brother Nathaniel wrote something of similar sentiment and analysis the other day, and it was pretty good. So he's got a new video out, and we're going to play that later. And if you look on the homepage right above Headline News, you'll see Brother Nathaniel's video, and his latest is up there and posted. Let's see if he's there. You there, my friend?
I'm here. I'm just sitting back listening to Jeff Renz, who is really on to the whole colonial project in Palestine, I think, before anyone. I think long before Chris Hedges, maybe not a Norman Finkelstein, okay, but Renz was right there from the get-go. Now,
I'm a little
Johnny come lately. What?
No, I was covering Norman Finkelstein when he was talking in the first days of that revelation. He was making similar points, and I covered that.
So, he's got his facts down pretty good, but there's always a flip side to a leftist Jew.
Yes.
Okay, and a leftist Jew will tell you Hitler was a monster, and he will tell you a leftist Jew that 6 million were gassed.
Right.
And, okay, well, this is ridiculous, and it's ahistorical, and it's just plainly not true. But they go with that, and they'll promote that kind of thing and call, you know, the Hitler just a monster and all that stuff. Whereas I grew up, and my dad saw that this whole thing was a fraud. This 6 million deal.
That's remarkable that your dad, all those years ago, saw through it. Well, it wasn't really talked about, the whole Holocaust thing, until the...
We never heard this word until the mid-60s.
No.
I
was going to say, the late 60s. You got it. You're right.
I was born in 1950. We never heard of gas chambers.
No
such thing. All we heard about was work camps for political prisoners. And many of them were Jews, Gypsies, Jehovah's Witnesses, and they were political prisoners because the Jews were promoting communism, and they were part of the Internationale. Okay,
as they were also Soviet soldiers, captured Soviet soldiers in the camps. They used them for labor. They had, it was vital to the war effort. It's understandable.
Oh, I know Germans. I know people who work for German companies.
Yeah.
And they're workaholics, and you are going to work overtime, whether you like it or not, and you're not going to get paid overtime. I know people who work for German companies.
Uh-huh.
They put people to work. Work makes free, and you're going to work for free overtime, too.
That's true.
Okay.
Very true.
So Norman Finkelstein, he's got some good facts down and all that. He's still at this impossible thing of a two-state solution. I mean, that's just a total joke, and everybody knows it. And there ain't going to be a one-state solution, because that means in 5 years, because of the reproductive habits of Palestinian Arabs, who are both Muslim and Christians, they don't do abortion, and they don't do, you know, birth control or any of that stuff, or the rhythm method. They don't do that. That's why half the population in Gaza are children. Because they have kids, and that's what they do when they get married. They have kids. So that one-state solution is out of the question, and the two-state, that's just a total joke, because it'll be another blockade, like Gaza has been for the last...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally.
How long blockade was Gaza? Since 2006, ever since Hamas was elected democratically, you know.
Ever since Hamas was created and financed by... U.S., CIA, and Israeli Mossad. They put it together to oppose Yasser Arafat.
There you go. They wanted a division between the Palestinians on the west and on the east, okay? Between the PA, the Palestinian Authority, totally corrupt, totally bought off. And plus, they ran out of money anyway, so Yasser Arafat had no choice but to go with the Oslo Accord and, you know, become the police guard for the settlers, basically.
Right.
So and the people in Gaza didn't like this. So they say Hamas will truly represent the Palestinian people. But the whole thing was put up by Netanyahu and the others to divide the Palestinian people, and it worked pretty good.
Yeah.
And I guess it's working on Israel's behalf now.
Well, we know this. The false flag Hamas attack on Israel is an obscenity. And it's blatantly obvious, but the mainstream media, of course, will never touch it. Never. So
Jeff,
that's part of the game.
A bird doesn't fly over that blockade without the entire Mossad.
No, we know. Yeah, of course.
It's in bed.
Well, I've seen close to
government.
I've seen close to 10 videos from active or retired Israeli Defense Force people, several of which have actually worked on the wall, and they just said, "This is an outrage. This is we're being betrayed by our own people." There's no way that could have happened without full sanction and support of the Netanyahu government. And they did.
Yeah.
And they stood the military down for 4.5 or 6.5 hours, depending on who you believe. But the military was stood down, and the attack was allowed to continue. It didn't stop it.
Yeah, well, they have what is called the Hannibal. I think it's called the Hannibal Doctrine.
That's right.
Where they don't want hostages because they don't want to negotiate with Hamas or what they call, quote-unquote, terrorists.
Anybody,
okay.
Right.
Yeah, or anybody. So they will kill any Hamas car or ambulance or vehicle that has Israeli hostages, and that's exactly what happened.
That's not civilian hostages. That's military hostages, prisoners of war as well. They'll kill any of their own people who fall into the hands of their enemies.
Yeah, that's called the Hannibal Doctrine. They did
that's
the
right.
same in Lebanon, and they did the same on October 7th of 2023. But to get this kind of thing out is very difficult, but I have different sources, and I have different ways of finding these things out. And I did this on my first relaunch of Real Jew News, the Jewish murder machine, and I put up the actual interview between a colonel who was pressed by a journalist to admit it. Yes, we shot at him. Yes, we did.
Uh-huh.
And
sure.
we knew there were hostages, but we did fire at them. Okay. So there it is. And I say, well, the Israelis, on behalf of Judaism on behalf of the Jewish people, because that's what we really have to say. Because when Biden says that Israel makes it safe for all Jewish people, then everything that happens in Israel is on behalf of the Jewish people worldwide. And you have this little shrimp twerp who's the most despicable person, this great hero, I call him Jew Speaky, Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
who says that Hamas will kill these Israelis just because they're Jewish. Okay, so that's ridiculous. But because he says that, then okay, that means that whatever Israel does is because they're Jewish. So you have to go full circle with this, Mr. Jew Speaky. That's what I call him now. But he's just a despicable thing, that there should be no ceasefire, that it's outrageous. I don't know. He calls himself a Christian. But how he to everyone
face
Jesus Christ on Judgment Day, I think he's going to be in trouble, Jeff.
I think you're right. No, I agree. I find his claims of being a Christian morbidly ridiculous.
He's a monster.
He's a dupe.
Okay,
he's another dupe. And watch how the crowd reacts. It's in Brother Nathaniel's video. The crowd starts cheering, basically, when he said, there'll be no ceasefire. This is an alleged
Republican? Well, they repeated
Republican?
Him, no ceasefire. No, they were all, I mean, come on.
Right.
This was a mock thing, this March for Israel. He acts like this was impromptu. Come on. You know, the first biggest supporters of Mike Johnson, it was AIPAC. And they sent him, it wasn't AIPAC, it was some online group that, lies for, the Jewish cause, that sent him and this other guy, Jordan, I think that's his name, who was almost going to be the speaker from Ohio. They spent $50,000 to send Mikey Johnson and Jordan to Israel. Not just those two, their whole family and their wives and everyone. Yeah, and they gave him a tour of everything. So Mike Johnson says, I don't see any oppression of the Palestinian people. Well, who was your tour guide, Mikey? Bibsy.
And in all likelihood, where did the money come from that they used to wine and dine and fly him around like that and everyone? It came from us. Israel is not an industrial giant. They don't do any big major manufacturing and wholesaling to the world. They make the Intel chips are made there, a few other things. They get most all their money from American taxpayers. They always have. And speaking of the Holocaust, that's got to be worth now about $1 trillion altogether over the many decades. They've made so much money on that, it's ridiculous.
Well, a major scam.
Oh, sure.
Reparations.
They're the masters at it, okay? Here's a little...
Go ahead.
No, you go.
In my synagogue, I grew up in a synagogue, and my dad was anti-Zionist, but he was a Jewish supremacist at the same time. Okay, because there's two sides of that coin, too. So I'm just going to say it like it is. I'm not going to make us a great big hero. Okay, but everyone had a grandmother who survived the Holocaust. So
everybody.
Everyone.
Uh-huh.
But not my family. We did it, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I started
asking,
my friends, in Shabbat school, did anyone die? No, they survived. Well, how do we come up with 6 million? I was a teenager by that. If no one died, they're all survivors. So where did the 6 million come from? But I was a different kind of a Jewish kid.
I guess you were. They used the same 6 million figure at World War I, too, during those days. It's the same proposition, 6 million, 6 million. Anyhow, at the plaque at Auschwitz, the bronze plaque honoring the dead, it started out saying, through these gates, remember the gate with work will set you free and all that? Through these gates,
work makes free.
Work makes you free. 6 million people walk through this arch, never to walk out alive. And they got not 6 million, I beg your pardon. 4 million was the original bronze plaque, and it said that. 4 million marched under this arch into the camp, never to walk out alive. And because of the science involved in studying this, they had to revise their plaque. And they literally changed it to 3, and then to 2, And now it says, under this arch, approximately 1 million people marched through who never came out alive. That's at Auschwitz. So what's the deal? Well, the deal is they've lowered it by 3 million. 3 million from 6 million is what? 3 million. But the 6 million never changed, even though the Auschwitz plaque went from 4 million to 1 million. So they're still sitting on the 6 million because the dumb goyim will not rearrange their minds. That's stupid. Hey, here's this guy. I just found it. I'm trying to do three things at once here. This guy in Australia, Lucas Gage. It's about a 12-minute video. I'm just going to play a little bit of it.
Yeah, I saw you sent me the video. I thought he was great.
He was nice, terrific. And if you haven't seen the Rents video collection in the top right section of the homepage, you've been missing out. They're really good. I don't have time to produce them. They're done beautifully. Yeah. And I've got an associate, a colleague, and boy, does he put out some great stuff. Here you go.
What are you doing?
You're too soft. I know it's hard. I know we got friends who are Jews. My doctors are Jew. My friends are partially Jewish or a quarter Jew, half a Jew. I understand it's not fair. But you know what's not fair? That these fucking good Jews that are friends with us aren't saying shit. They're not doing. In fact, they're making excuses for Israel because they're Jewish.
What you're about to see is evidence that the mask has been torn off Zion. There is no going back. The current generation now sees the Jew for what he is. More and more people have awakened, and this will cause the Jews to lash out with ever more horrendous atrocities. That what they're doing to children in Gaza, they would readily visit upon you and your family using your own soft-touch weaponized government, which they control by nepotism and buying, bribing, and blackmailing politicians and key
right,
business leaders.
That's, right.
That's what the Mossad agent Jeffrey Epstein was about. Blackmail? Elon Musk is the latest in a conga line of philo Semites. That means Jewish sycophants, bootlickers, and Shabbos goyim, as Jews like to call their non-Jewish useful idiots who do their work. The following truth-teller, Lucas Gage, who we'll shortly show you, enunciates views that are common now the world sees Jewish nature by the genocide they are committing in Gaza. Your government's silence to Israel's humanitarian crimes is consent, and is evidence it's been corrupted and co-opted by Jewish money, influence peddling, and illegal lobbying in contravention of the Foreign Agents Registration Act in the case of America, where Jewish organizations and the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee...
That's why they killed JFK.
Jewish supremacists fucking with me.
Here. All right, here's back to Lucas Gage for just a minute. Okay.
Yeah, he's pissed.
he is... Some people would call him unhinged. I wouldn't. He's just angry.
Well, he's just seeing the reality of it, you know, maybe for the first time. It's a wake-up call.
Right.
Not for me.
Here we go. No, not for you.
The mask has been torn off Zion.
I can't even get a workout in without some Jewish supremacist fucking with me. So I'm sitting there doing my back workout, back and chest today, and I get a fucking text. Hey. Is this Lucas Gage? I go, yeah. Who's this? I'm just some guy. I'm like, all right, who is this person? And then he goes, I just want to let you know, bro. I don't like what we're doing on Twitter, bro. Take your meds. And I'm like, oh, it's one of these guys. So I blocked him and deleted him. I said, wait a minute. No, hold on. Let me fucking unblock him. So I had to find his number again, unblock him, and let him keep talking. So then he sends me this, I'd let you know, bro. I'm sending a file for the police department. Okay, first of all, this guy's area coded. I don't know where the fuck it's from. It's not anywhere close to me, so he's not doing shit. Secondly, he thinks he's going to threaten me with police. For what? For what, you stupid fuck? For my First Amendment? Haven't you retards learned I can say fucking anything I want? Doesn't matter about your stupid-ass feelings. You send the police to my house for what? Expressing my First Amendment. Once again, this proves there's not a single Jew on this planet that believes in free speech. Not one. Not fucking one. And I give you a guarantee, even my friends... If I push my friends far enough, they'll say, you know what, bro, maybe you shouldn't talk. I guarantee even my own friends, I guarantee if I take my doctors, who are all Jews, and say, Dr. Kaufman, you know, quick question. What do you think about this or the Holocaust? Oh, no, wait. I guarantee even Dr. He's a good guy. But I guarantee even Kaufman's going to be like, well, I don't know. I think, you know, maybe we shouldn't discuss that topic because my grandmother was in. And there it goes. I'll tell you why I know Jew believes in the free speech. I'll tell you why. One, this guy's harassing me for what? What I'm doing on Twitter. What am I doing on Twitter? I'm talking. I'm talking. He doesn't like what I'm saying, so he's going to call the police. Police report. Hey, yeah. This guy's talking. What about the Torah Jews? Because every one of you is like, oh, it's the Zionist Jews. Well, Torah Jews aren't Zionists, are they? Are they not? They're not Zionists, right? Well, then why the fuck did the Torah Jews, which they deleted the tweet, but I screenshotted it. Too late. Too late, motherfucking rabbi. Too late. They asked Elon to get rid of me. They said, Elon, don't deal with this anti-Semitism. Are you going to allow this on your platform? What does that mean? It says, get rid of this man. So Zionist Jews want to kill me for my free speech, and these left-wing Torah Jews, whatever the fuck they are, doesn't matter, because a Jew's a Jew is a Jew. I want you guys to understand this. A Jew is a Jew is a Jew is a Jew is a Jew. Doesn't matter where he lives. He could be in France. He's a Jew. Doesn't matter if he's in fucking Tokyo. He's a Jew. He could be in Nigeria. He's a Jew. He could be in Rome. He's a Jew. He could be in Berlin. He's a Jew. Brussels, he's a Jew. London, he's a Jew. D.C., he's a Jew. You pick anywhere, he's a Jew. What's the first thing out of their fucking mouths? Hi, I'm a Jew. Jew what? Oh, I'm Italian Jew. Oh, you live in... Yeah, I'm a Jew who lives in Italy. Oh, shit. Okay.
All right. I apologize for the language. It's very much de rigueur now. It's very common. And we've all heard the word 18 billion times, so big deal. All right. Anyway.
All right, here's what I say in a more moderate tone, okay,
yeah.
Jeff?
Yeah.
I say there's no difference between Judaism and Zionism because Judaism is inherently Zionist. So every Pesach, every Passover, we all sat around the Passover table and we ended the Seder with next year in Jerusalem. Well, that is a very strong Zionist assertion. So to try to divide Jews between Zionists and those who are religious Jews is ridiculous, okay? It's just not.
Well, you got Torah Jews, you got Lubavitcher Jews, you got whatever. What is anti-Semitism?
But to a man,
it's anything
Zionist,
Jews.
They,
you've said this. Hold on. Anti-Semitism is anything Jews don't want to hear.
There you go. That's what I call a conspiracy theory. Okay? It's a theory that conspires to tell the truth. And hate speech is speech that the Jews just hate to hear. Like that guy, okay? Lucas, okay? His
right.
Jewish friend hated to hear what he had to say on Twitter, so he said he's going to call the police on him. Well, this has happened to me many times, you know, this freedom of speech. Well, all of a sudden, truth becomes hate speech. So it's just a matter of interpretation and who's interpreting it.
Right.
Okay, one man's freedom slogan is another man's hate speech, like this, from the sea to the other sea. Well, you can take that. The Jews are saying that they want a greater Middle East Israel from one sea to the next sea. So if a Palestinian or some kids at college say it, all of a sudden this becomes a way to genocide Israel. So no matter what side you're on, you're going to either have hate speech or love speech or true speech. So it's all a matter of interpretation. That's why this congressional hearing for these poor, you know, college deans, okay, I consider they were browbeaten into recanting and repenting. I don't know what they repented for. And I don't even know what changed. Maybe something did change on these college campuses. Probably did, because you don't hear about these protests anymore, unless you're onto something that I'm not. But I don't hear about it anymore. It got quashed, you know. Okay, so that's a problem. And the problem is, do we really have free speech in America? Well, ask YouTube what they just did to me. I was just Mr. Nice Guy playing by all the rules, but they saw I was very effective in promoting the Christian message, and they banned me. So if you even try to play their game, and if you're too effective, they will ban you. And
correct.
My new motto is no more Mr. Nice Guy. And
right. Well,
I'm fighting.
We can't keep playing the game anymore. Look, until very recently, the last, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, people really didn't even want to use the word Jew. They didn't want to speak it because they felt exposed and vulnerable, like they might be condemned as being an anti-Semite. Now you can say Jew. You could say Protestant, Buddhist, Hindu, but you couldn't say Jew. Now people are feeling confident enough with the truth that they're actually using the word, which is what should be done, obviously. Anyway,
I think you and I have something to do with that, Jeff. I really do.
Well, you pioneered, you rolled it back, and you did in the beginning.
Well, with your help, right. You know that. We talked about
well,
that.
Well, I'm old-fashioned. I believe in the First Amendment, and as long as you're not threatening to harm anybody, say whatever you want.
Yeah, I agree with that, okay? And so I'm saying things. And recently, someone who's very supportive of me was told, you've got to shut him down. He had the authority to do something church-wise. So he said, show me one thing that Brother Nathaniel is saying that's not correct, and I'll take action. And everyone shut up. Because I have my own fact-checkers, okay? I have someone that used to work for the cops that checks me out. Says, no, you can't say that. That's not quite factual. And I said, okay, I'll scratch it. So I do have fact-checkers before I put anything up, Jeff. And no one can prove me wrong. And I often say it, prove me wrong. You can't.
Well, that's the same way David Duke has always done his research. He uses the actual text, the statements, the documents from the side that he is trying to illuminate for everyone to see more clearly, whoever it is. He doesn't say, well,
have a PhD okay.
Well, he presents the facts. David has always done that. And yet he's been smeared more than probably anybody else on the planet. That's what they do.
I know. Yeah, well, they got him because I think he was in a position of great influence. He was in the House of Representatives.
Very articulate. He did his research. His books are all predicated on reality, on truth, on facts. And some of it is opinion, but not much in his case. He just says, here's what they're saying. Here's what they're saying. You decide.
His footnotes are as big as his books. Look at the footnotes.
They're huge. Well, that's called real research and real journalism. That's the truth.
Yeah.
He's one of a kind. And you're right there on the same page with him. So,
well, I have tremendous respect for him. I met him personally, and I do. Because someone who's intelligent and presents facts, I have respect for. And he does it with a detailed brush and in a broad brush as well. And that's what I like. I like conceptualism, but give me the details too. Give me both.
Right. All right, let me say this. If you want to see that entire video that I played an excerpt from, it's number 9 under the Rents video commentaries. It says, the mask has been torn off the face of Zion. One man speaks to billions who won't dare talk. Lucas Gage, a message to consider. It's right there, number 9. So you can go listen to that.
Good.
All right. You want to play your video?
You said that to
me
right away. I said, get him on your show. But I know you told me it's difficult to get people,
It's easy to make recommendations, but to take the time to try to figure out how to contact people is not a luxury that I can afford. It's very hard.
Yeah.
Got an email address. I'll invite people. Many people I've invited on, I never hear back from. Some of them are big names. They just don't even bother answering because they don't want to be on this platform. It's too realistic, and they don't want to get smeared.
Well,
I
applaud Robert Jeffries. This man is pretty much mainstream-ish.
Donald Jeffries,
Donald, and he advertises, hey, everybody, I'm going to be on Rents, in 2 days. So he doesn't make any bones about it or apologize. Hey, watch me. I'll be on Rents. Listen to me.
Right.
And Lou Rockwell features him all over the place.
Yeah, very good. All right, let's play your video while we're still in a good time position here. I don't want to get to be too late here. All right, here's Brother Nathaniel's new video. It's up in the banner. You'll see it right above headline news. And you want to set this up at all, or shall we just play it?
Yeah, I do want to set this up because this is a conceptualization, okay? And I conceptualize it as Israel's doom in global pivot. Now, that's a buzzword from McCander's Eurasian thing of geopolitics, the global pivot. Okay, so I'm saying this is a global pivot 2.0. So we're now looking at a very transitional period of a global pivot. And that global pivot includes the Islamic world, which is no small thing if you really look at it, okay? It's widening, it's growing, it's huge in numbers, and they are growing geopolitically, politically, and militarily.
Yeah. 1.2 billion
weapons. You've got weapons in Iran and in Turkey that will annihilate any carrier, U.S. carrier, parked in Julan, okay? They're sitting ducks, basically. And if provoked, they will get hit. So this thing with Houthis, 60 grand saying, saying we got to attack Iran. Uh-huh. Well, now you put it all together. China has very crucial interests in the Persian Gulf. No gas or oil goes to China. That's the end of their economy. And they're not going to sit by and let Iran be blasted to smithereens. They're not going to let it. So you have a whole regional and a global scenario growing that I say is Israel's doom. And I don't think that Jewish state, is what they call it, is going to last.
So well, I wouldn't be surprised. They've taken over much of Ukraine. They're going to lose most of it when this war ends, but they've got plenty of room down there for their greater Israel south if they want to. We'll see. All right, here's Brother Nathaniel's new video, Israel's Doom in Global Pivot 2.0.
The jailbreak is complete, busting out of its open-air concentration camp, repressed and suppressed by its Jewish overlords. Hamas has achieved a signal victory. The myth of Israel's military power is shattered with 1,000 Israeli soldiers slain and 1,645 wounded. Jews are fleeing Israel in droves, and Israel's ancestral homeland appeal is presently reaping a barren harvest. Israel's economy is collapsing, coupled with reservists surrendering their jobs. The financial underwriting of crushing Gaza is exorbitant. World opinion is aghast with horror, and Israel's neighbors are uniting in one anti-Zionist Islamic cause. Islamic may be a bugaboo word, but America and Israel must face the music. Islam, politically, geopolitically, militarily, is a massive, growing, united, regional, and emerging global power. Let me put it this way. How would you feel if the Yids looked upon you as subhuman, an animal, a beast, to be wiped off the face of the earth? Well, you'd be pretty pissed, too. In profound juxtaposition, Global Pivot 2.0 pretends a doomsday future for any remaining pro-Zionist design.
The Russian President Vladimir Putin arrived in Saudi Arabia on Wednesday after visiting the United Arab Emirates.
There's a little news clip that Brother Nathaniel is showing now of Putin when he visited, I guess, at the UAE, United Arab Emirates, and met with...
MBS, okay?
Yeah, he's with MBS, but it's in the UAE. I was just going to say that. Yeah.
But this is body language 101, okay? Look at how they are, like, bonded.
Well, Mohammed bin Salman will be king of Saudi Arabia quite soon. The old man's old, and he's coming in. The world is changing dramatically, and as you point out, very quickly. And I think there are 1.3 or 1.2 billion Muslims on the planet right now. And they have all, now we need to be honest here, none of the Arab nations, Muslim, Islamic nations, have done anything to physically try to stop the Jewish Zionist invasion of Gaza or the West Bank. They've done nothing. And it's my opinion, geopolitically, obvious to me, that they've all been threatened with nuclear annihilation. That's what I would do if I were in Tel Aviv. I would threaten them all, or Jerusalem. And I think that's what's happened. Nothing's been done. The Houthis in Yemen hit another ship today with an anti-ship missile, but it didn't sink it or anything. Meanwhile, Maersk, the big shipping line, M-A-E-R-S-K, has pulled all tanker traffic out of the Red Sea. Not only that, but the maritime insurance companies have stopped offering insurance for any ship that transits the Red Sea. That means Israel gets no supplies. That's big news, but no one's talking about it.
Yeah, that's big news. Well, you are.
All right. Well, back to Brother Nathaniel's video. Here we go. Hold on. All right.
Moscow is seeking to reassert itself on the global stage and also to bolster its influence in West Asia.
Multifaceted dynamics are at play. While Biden and Blinken get bumped off whole cloth, Putin and company get admitted whole swath. The dynamics are moving away from America and landing squarely in Russia's, the global South, and the Islamic world's lap. Be that as it may, and it will be until next May and the May after that, that great patriot and hero, U.S. Speaker Mike Johnson, is squarely, most assuredly, unquestionably, unequivocally, bag and baggage, undeniably owned by the Jews.
It is. Okay, now listen to Mike Johnson. And if you're not, if you don't have feelings of shame, you probably don't live in this country, what's left of it. But this guy is bad news. All right, here.
Good to be with you all. What an extraordinary crowd. And it was organized in just a few days. It's amazing, amazing. There are few issues in Washington that could so easily bring together leaders of both parties in both chambers. But the survival of the state of Israel and her people unites us together, and it unites all Americans, all Americans.
It unites all Americans, all Americans.
All Americans. Okay. Yeah.
Let me be very clear. The United States stands unequivocally with our neighbor, our friend, our ally, Israel. They're neighbors in a global sense, that's right. As Prime Minister Netanyahu says so well, this is a fight between good and evil, between light and darkness, between civilization and barbarism. Barbarism. The calls for a ceasefire are outrageous.
Does this creep speak for you out there listening in America? Does he speak for most people of goodwill around the world who have been watching this genocide in Gaza? Does he speak for you? I don't think so.
He speaks for the Yids. His biggest supporters are AIPAC. They gave
you
a bunch of money.
Absolutely.
And his first act as speaker was to cut budget so he can give
more money.
Israel $14
billion,
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
For military aid. Okay.
Who owns the United States? Not the people. We're owned by a foreign country, that little democracy in the Middle East. They control this country and its money and its wealth and its people and its media and its politicians. And I could go on for five more minutes. Go ahead.
Well, the six-pack goy, he's watching football. And the poor goy is being destroyed, demolished. His
Correct.
White race is being crushed and
That's
eliminated.
Right.
But give the goy, you know, his six-pack, you know, his football and his widescreen TV. And I always say the FEMA camps or the goyim would be very happy. They'll have huge widescreen TVs and lots of fries, you know.
Well, don't forget about his $100,000 4x4 truck, his pickup truck that he uses to go back and forth to Walmart in. There's another one.
That's another one.
For once, Bibsy is right. It is a fight between good and evil. It's, in fact, a fight between occupiers and centuries-old occupants, between property thieves and property owners, between those people banished by God whose house is left desolate and those retained by God for their faithfulness whose houses have documents of ownership. It is a fight between an interpretation and a presence of long-term residence, between the pure barbarism of Jews against civilians, a matter of unpublicized policy but media-suppressed actions since the outset of Zionist colonization. By 1948, 400 Arab villages were annihilated, with their houses, Garden walls and even cemeteries and tombstones obliterated. By the end of 1969, after the Israeli occupation of the West Bank and Gaza, 7,554 Arab houses were razed, and by August 1971, 16,212 Arab houses had been demolished. Well, since all of this doesn't matter to Jew Speaky Johnson, it's all about another evangelical cowing to the Jews. One more evangelical worships kikes more than he worships Christ.
That's
and
right.
Why should there be a ceasefire? The quota on slaughtered Palestinian children, those animals just out of their embryos, has no ceiling. Yet, there are no
right.
more zones of influence in the Middle East. The Brits, the French, the Jew-Americans are bogged down in a crushing, domineering Jewish thrust, while the Islamic world, enraged over the West stand-down of Jewry's dreadful leveling of Gaza, gains momentum with its overwhelming numbers, unity, and might. And don't give me this Zionist versus Judaism crap. Judaism is inherently Zionist. Every Passover, we proclaim, next year in Jerusalem, Iran, Turkey, Hezbollah, Egypt, Yemen, Mecca, Medina, and specifically China, who's crucially dependent on oil out of the Persian Gulf, may be saying it's soon too, but with a different spin. Next year, we crush Jerusalem. And yes, Trump's beautiful U.S. embassy will be crushed too. Target Jerusalem and all the U.S. carriers parked in Jewland, if provoked, will be hit by supersonic missiles, of which Iran and Turkey have plenty of. My dear Goyesha friends, and all the Jews, clerical types, and whosoever is chomping at the bit to discredit me, all of you who are ready to attack me for a word, may the Lord God remember you when I'm vindicated by the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth himself. To say the word Jew is taboo. So keep saying Zionists. Not those unmentionables, I mean those who are dragging America into disgrace. Next time any American prez says he cares about human rights and the entire world vomits in disgust, just say the Zionists made him do it, so all the unmentionables are off the hook. I was raised as a Jew, and behind closed doors, we told it like it is. I've opened that door. There are no secrets of the synagogue anymore.
Well, you laid it out. It couldn't be any more clearly stated than that. That's all. It's all true. You're literally disassembling one of the biggest psychological mass operations ever in history. And that's the idea that you're not allowed to say that word or criticize those people.
When they banned me without explaining why, what did I violate? And I got a robot on the chat room, okay, with the script. Mm-hmm. I said, you made a mistake, okay? You think I'm through with you people? Oh, there are no secrets of the synagogue anymore. I'm going to let it all out now. And I got a lot of them. Oh, yes, I do.
I was glad to see one thing. There were a number of Jews in L.A. They blocked a freeway down there. They're protesting the massacre in Gaza. They're very much anti-Zionist Jews. That's what they were calling themselves. But they were out blocking a freeway. Now, how many times lately have you seen any Goy demonstration or protest?
They're scared,
scared. They won't do anything. And yet the Jews went out opposing their own, allegedly, their own country's actions. And they really did go out and put their lives on the line. And that was very interesting. Good to see.
Well, but they've been silent for, you know, since 1967.
All Nobody's, sudden, you know, yeah, that's I understand
okay,
that. I'm
so,
not seeing any other group in this country doing much of anything to protest that slaughter.
I mean, with this, there's been four wars on Gaza, and they've been just as hideous, not as many numbers, okay? But children, because they're half the population, and they do it purposely sometimes when they're out of school, and just leaving school, they start bombing. Because the Jews don't want the children to grow up to become Hamas people.
Be enemies.
Okay?
They yes, that's right. That's right. Why the snipers are going after pregnant women. Same thing. They don't want the child to grow up as a male to oppose them. That's their credo.
Go. Okay, but where were these anti-Zionists in L.A. back, you know, when, with all these other Gaza wars?
I know. I think they were
but
younger people.
I
know. They are scared, I think,
yeah, they're younger
to a
people,
degree.
But they're scared because they're seeing that this is all being done in the name of the Jewish people.
It's being done
when
in their Biden name.
When says there is no Jew safe unless there's an Israel, he is proclaiming to the world that Israel is all about Jews. Now, this right. scares these Jewish
It's an apartheid
leftists,
country. Come on.
That's,
we know that. Yeah, go
okay,
ahead.
They are the same people that will vote for a Goyish penis to be cut off of a boy who's 8 years old. These are the same people, Jeff. Okay, so they'll impress you on one coin, but flip over the other coin, they'll disgust you. So I'm not into them at all, and I know they're frightened. They're frightened of some anti-Semitic outbreak, and they're frightened that all Jews will be tarred as genocidal people. Okay, so they don't want that label, and they want to be able to walk down the street without anybody seeing a hooked nose and say, yeah, there's a Jew who wants to kill us. So they're scared, and I really doubt their motives. I honestly do. And even Finkelstein, as good as he is, and the facts he is, and says it like he is, he's all still a leftist, and he'd be the first one to hold the banner with that flag for homosexual marriages. I know these people. I know them backward and forward, because in our synagogue, we had conservative types and we had leftist types. So I know the whole stripe, and I know the in-betweens, and I know playing all sides. I know this growing up. And like I said, there are no secrets of the synagogue anymore. I'm going to expose like never before.
Very good.
Yeah.
Man on a mission. You've always been on a mission, but now I see
I
more
am a man on
focused.
A mission. I have a focus. And I'm not looking like Jay Leno. How many cars am I going to end up in after the show's over? I'm not into that.
I know.
I'm not. If anybody saw my place, they'd say, well, I don't even have a bed. I sleep on a mat. I'm not into it. I'm on a focus, and I'm on a, like you say, I am on a mission. And I'm glad to be working with a man who's also on a mission. It's obvious by what you put up every day. I mean, you want the news, you go to Rents.com, and you're going to find out the whole thing.
Well, thank you. I do my best. And I got some
well,
great people sending in stories that help
to
as
be
well.
Able to do this every day, I mean, that's got to be a massive amount of labor that's intensive.
7 days a week. Some days 19 hours last week. Anyway, it's averaging 16, 17.
Three radio interviews per night? I mean, how do you do it, Jeff?
I don't know.
Allison City.
Here.
It must be Allison City.
Well, it's that and biosuperfood and just not eating garbage. That helps a lot. A Los Angeles
yeah.
freeway was blocked on Wednesday by protesters demanding a ceasefire in Gaza. The progressive Jewish organization, If Not Now, a pro-Palestinian group which supports ending U.S. support for Israel, said it had organized the protest and that it had been timed for Hanukkah. So, courageous people, I honor them. I'm not going to ignore that for a moment. I get the bigger picture, of course, but it's something that's nice to see. A little bit of a... What was it? Natura Carta is another group. I haven't seen too much from them. They're very much...
Because Jews aren't going to publicize them because they're on the wrong side of the narration.
They're,
I know them.
No,
I know
blacked
Rabbi
out.
Dovi Weiss. Okay,
they're
I know him.
Out. Well, he was
and
on
I'm
the program.
Actually,
I've had him on. He's good.
I'm on good laughing terms with him. I joke with him. I saw him fairly recently, and he got a big, fat stomach. He used to be skinny.
Oh.
I said to him,
He was skinny. He got fat, huh? Yeah, he was very thin.
He got
thin.
Fat. Oh.
That's
okay,
funny.
So I poked his stomach. I said, Rebbe, kosher's good, but too much of it will make you fat. So he starts laughing. I mean, okay, I can joke around with people. In some ways, we're on the same page, but they are still Zionists somewhere off in the future. And really, they're waiting for the Antichrist, okay, because they reject Jesus Christ, who I see as definitely the Jewish Messiah who had to conquer death. Okay, so, all right, and we talked about that. We had a little debate in public about that, but we parted as friends after our little debate, and I won the debate, actually. So, okay, I know these people, and they know me. And, hey, I can talk to any person because, essentially, I'm a humanist, and I have a fascination for the human race. I do, and you and people. And I say to people, and sometimes in church you have, you know, fake, you know, Christians, I say, you know, you can deny your humanity, but God will remind you, and that could be a toothache, hemorrhoids, or a heart attack. He will remind you that you are human.
Right. Well said. I got it. So where do you think, where do we go from here? They're just going to continue their annihilation of Palestinians. They're going to drive them either into the Mediterranean to drown or across the border into Sinai, I guess. That's their plan.
From the get-go, the General Golan, and it's a military dictatorship. We knew this as kids, okay? It doesn't matter.
Military apartheid dictatorship. Yeah.
You know, Netanyahu, Bennett, it doesn't matter, left, wing, right, it's run by the military. He said from the outset, there will be no more Gaza. Gaza, as we know it today, will no longer exist. He said that. And he said it boldly, brazenly, like he didn't give a damn, who cares? You know, and that's what happened, because he calls the shots. Okay, the entire military calls the shots, not Netanyahu.
Right.
All right.
Well,
so then, what does he say after that? We will cut off all electricity, all fuel, all food. Well, there goes the hospitals. And this whole thing about the command headquarters of Hamas at Al-Shifa, if that's the right word, Al-Shifa Hospital. What a joke. They found a well or something.
When the Israelis were in control of it, they built underground tunnels under that hospital. There were command and control rooms down there. They built it as it was a safe target. Those people aren't going to shoot at hospitals except them. So they had built these tunnels, and they claimed that the Hamas people did. But it was an Israeli construct all the way under the hospital.
Yeah.
So they knew where they were, and they used it as a convenient excuse to bomb the hell out of the place. Anyway.
All right. But their whole purpose was to destroy Gaza. Children, women,
that's exactly
men.
Right. That's right.
Everything. And it's going to be obliterated. Now, where do we go from here after that?
No one's going to stop it. Notice, no one's going to stop it. And I call it the U.S.-Israeli war against Gaza and the West Bank.
I see how your headlines are now. They're great. You call it the U.S.-Israel war on Gaza and on the Palestinian people. And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But
without
I'm
our money,
do my,
they don't do anything. Without our jet fighters, jet planes, they don't do anything. We give them everything. The American people technically are giving them. I don't think most Americans will want anything to do with that.
Well, anyway. But the Goyim are now watching football, so they don't give a damn.
That's true.
But my next video is going to be, and I do give a damn, okay? My next video is going to be the third state solution, okay? Now, this is going to just turn everyone's heads around.
Okay,
I'm
all
going
to
let
20
the cat
seconds
out of the bag.
Hurry up.
I'll just give you the title, the third state solution, and it's going to be a swap, okay? It's going to be a swap, and I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, well, look forward to that as well.
You can call me later, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. But I want to put a teaser out for all your listeners.
All right, very good. All right, Brother Nathaniel, thank you. We'll talk soon. You be safe.
All right, it's great.
Take care.
I always enjoy it. All right.
Okay. All right, back with much more in just a few. Hang on.